This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple, what a bad attitude, hate around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friends that come around, fast to foot to podium, rants on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, tots and tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should it be? Shake it up. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. You can save money. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, Carver, we had a fight last night in baseball with Donaldson against the Musgrove and the Pirates. We had a little brawl. Any, brawls tonight? Since they don't fight in hockey anymore, is there any chance you could get me, maybe a little beanball, a little brawl every night in baseball?
None that I know of tonight.
All right. I'm looking for one. If we could get a little.
Do you expect to see any violence here today?
I certainly hope so.
I'm hoping for some violence tonight in baseball, some capacity or another. Mitch Lawrence will join us in around 11 and a half minutes from now from NBA Radio, Forbes Sporting News to talk Durant, Game 6, and everything in the NBA offseason that is creeping up on us ever so quickly. It could all end Thursday night in Oracle in the East Bay, or if the Warriors, who sell them around the blind, win, then a Game 7 in Toronto on Sunday, Father's Day. So we'll talk about all of that with Mitch Lawrence. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe will join us at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific on the obvious Bruins Game 7 tomorrow night in Boston. It's the Blues and Bruins for the world. It's all on the line. Winner take all, loser goes home. So the NBA Finals shift back to the Bay Area for the final game ever at Oracle Thursday night. Can the Warriors force a Game 7 on Pharrellers Day on Sunday? No official word yet on the KD Achilles following an MRI in New York. Where does this leave teams like the Knicks if Durant stays in Golden State? The USA Women's World Cup team finally got underway today in France and had a rough time of it, Carver High, against Thailand. What happened there?
Yeah, nothing like your standard run-of-the-mill 13-0 whooping.
Pasting?
Yeah.
Which got everybody
all up in arms today, about how
they're mad.
Fair play. Where's the sportsmanship? Shut up. It's the World Cup. Go stop them. Goal differential matters in the group stage.
It sure does.
Plus 13 right now.
So they're comfortably numb.
That's right. This is not an exhibition game.
This is not a friendly.
This is not a friendly. This is the World Cup. And despite being the defending champs, there's been a lot of discussion around the people in the soccer game that they are not the favorites to win this time, that France being the
France
host country, etc. So I'd say today, even though Thailand was probably last out of the 24 teams that are in it, USA made a statement today over in France.
So who went off in that game? I heard Alex Morgan had 5 goals.
She had 5, yeah.
Jesus, that's a career.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having 5 World Cup goals in your life, let alone in one game?
Crazy.
That is insanity. Yes. Getting involved. Alex Morgan. Just absolutely. What's the chick's name that's really good on that team? The one from New Jersey.
There's a lot.
No, but what? There's one girl on that team that's insane. That they did a 60 E60 on her the other day? Heath. Tobin Heath.
Yeah.
Did she score?
So many people scored.
Listen, as long as she scored, I'm happy. That girl's a serious stud on the pitch. Hope everyone knows what that is. Anyway, so I didn't see the is there a box score something that they do for these things? So I have to see. So they won. That's incredible. 13-0. That's just absolute. I can't even imagine a soccer. Did that even like happen? You're kidding, right? That there's like, can you even, how do you even explain that? Alex Morgan at 12:53, 74, 81, and 87. Rose Lavelle scored. Lindsay Horan, Sam Mewis, Megan Rapone at 79, Mallory Pugh, and Carly Lloyd. So my girl Tobin Heath Bar Crunch did not score.
I guess she's saving for the next game against Chile on Sunday.
Is that when they play next?
Yes.
So there you go. They've had a tremendous problem against Thailand in the past with a 9-0 record against them. So there you go. Hate America time now. We open up the phone lines. I'm sure everyone in Canada wants us to lose. Is that right?
They were very upset today.
Were they upset?
Well, with the whole booing from last night.
What are they? What is there to argue about?
Well, what you thought would be said the next day, which is there was only, you know, a couple of people, and it's not a reflection of the city.
They did that whole thing today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how does my ass sound?
It happens in a lot of places.
Oh, don't blame us. Blame everyone else.
You know, it's not the first time some, you know, a situation like this has happened.
Is that right?
A lot of things being said.
They cheered when that guy tore his Achilles. That when he got injured, they cheered. There were fans waving at him when he was leaving in his face. So the only person that cared about him was Drake. Ironically enough, I give Drake all the credit in the world for being a guy that understood you can't cheer when a baller drops with an Achilles or a leg or anything, a knee, an ankle. You just can't do it. It's just not cool.
I think a lot of people who are in Toronto were also comparing to a lot of times people, you know, opponents of the Penguins will cheer when, like, Crosby gets hurt or something
right.
like that. So there's definitely a lot of that, that it's not the first time in sports.
He gets it a lot worse than Toronto with all of the, like, feminine names they give him. Like, he gets all that Cindy, they call him.
He gets that everywhere.
He gets everything. Everywhere
especially
he goes.
In the bigger hockey markets, you know, your New York's, Boston's, Philly.
They hate him.
You know, that he gets all that stuff.
Yeah. With his shiny three Stanley Cups and that shiny gold medal he got at the
right.
Olympics.
I will say it is true. It's not the first time that a guy got, you know, that a crowd cheered when a guy
right.
got hurt. It's not. But it's a big stage.
It's
the NBA
the
Finals.
Day.
The great Toronto crowd that we've talked about throughout the whole playoffs.
They're busted.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. So, first up, Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mitch Lawrence is back on the bench from NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News to talk NBA Rack. How you doing, Mitch?
Back where I belong. How you doing, all right?
My man. So, I guess KD came to New York for an MRI.
Yes.
What did you think when you saw him drop again last night?
Oh, as soon as when he dropped and grabbed that leg and then and the back of his, you know, he goes down, he grabs the back of his foot, his leg, and then he points to the bench. That's when you knew, yeah, this is Achilles time and he's done. And has he played his last game for the Warriors? But he's definitely out, you know. And then you're just thinking, wow, what happened here? Because it seems like from what Bob Meyer said after the game, when he almost broke down, you know, that they obviously cleared him, and that he mentioned the fact that here Kevin Durant had his own people. The inference was that his own medical people he had consulted with had MRIs, had multiple exams. They also cleared him. So who's at fault? That's the big thing now. Everybody wants to assign blame. Bottom line is Kevin Durant's a big boy. He's a man. He's 30 years old, right? He decides when he wants to play. He decided he wanted to play last night, whether he got pressured or whatever. The decision came down to him, and he made the wrong move.
So, I mean, why is it that everybody wants to blame or take blame for it? I couldn't agree more. I had said to someone that, you know, he practiced twice. He did the shoot around. He was fine. When the game started, he jumped up out of the bench and, you know, 15 feet in the air. He seemed fine.
He seemed, I mean, the way he played last night, I'm sitting there going, he's drilling shots and he's giving everybody, you know, he's telling everybody, letting everybody know, this is what the Warriors, we expected them to be in the finals. If he were healthy, they would have beaten Toronto in five games, right? Because he takes the Warriors from one level and makes them an elite team, maybe an all-time team. He had no problems until that move. So, I mean, it's just an unfortunate deal. But everybody wants to assign blame because what's going on in the series? We're seeing how Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, had a bit, you know, he had a falling out obviously with the Spurs that led to his trade because he didn't like the way they treated him and his injury. Now we're seeing, well, somebody must be at fault here because we're still trying to figure out, some of us, where we're still looking at, were the Spurs at fault? Was Kawhi, you know, this whole thing about Kawhi Leonard. So there's, and load management. And now Kevin Durant, who played 78 games, you see what he's gone through with some key injuries here in the playoffs. While Kawhi, who did the load management in this 22 game, Scott, he basically came out and said the other day, hey, the reason I'm able to play in the finals is because I sat out these games. So with this is the hot button issue in the NBA. This is the thing where players are now going to be extra careful about expending themselves in the regular season to save themselves for the playoffs. Why? Look what happened to Kevin Durant versus what happened to Kawhi Leonard.
So let me ask you now, what do you think happens with his summer free agency? Will he take the player option, or will he go and cut a deal with someone else like the Knicks?
I think the Knicks are going to give him the full deal that they can. The Knicks are a desperate team. James Dolan is a desperate owner. They have never had a player like Kevin Durant before for their team, the top player in the league, through their history. And so they have a chance to get one now. And I think the Kevin Durant, look, it's possible he could stay at Golden State for, what, the $36 million. It's also quite possible there's always been the talk, the smoke, that he is going to come to New York, that there's some sort of a wink-wink deal in place already. And I think the Knicks, even with him having them, let's say he misses the majority or all of next season, they would still make that move because James Dolan wants to have a big-time player at the Garden, the number one player in sports, because the Knicks have been such a disaster. He would be willing, I believe, to wait a year to make sure that he can get Kevin Durant back, even with no guarantee of what he's getting when Kevin Durant would take the court for the Knicks. I still think they've got a great chance to get Kevin Durant.
Wow. So, you know, obviously you're saying that you think they'll get him anyway and wait for 2 years for him to play. He's going to miss a year. He's going to miss a year, it would seem to me.
Yeah.
And then, so what kind of deal would they give him after that fact? Like, so how many years would he get?
He get a 4-year deal at whatever, you know, the full amount would be. You know, Golden State's deal would be 200. It wouldn't be 200 million. It would be 4 years, what, 140, 150 million? Yes, I think that is definitely would be on the table. I don't know if they'll take it, but the Knicks are a desperate team because they're so dysfunctional and they have been so bad. And they what does the Knicks want to do? Forget about winning. They talk about winning and culture. They want to sell tickets and they want to have people, the celebrities, come to see the stars at the Garden. Who's the last star he had? Carmelo Anthony. Kevin Durant is much better than Carmelo Anthony. He's a 2-times final MVP. He's a regular season MVP. I'm telling you, Jim Dolan would love to have Kevin Durant, and I'm sure that he would be the driving force behind the Knicks making this move to bring Durant in. And like I said, there are a lot of people who already think this deal is done.
So do you think, Mitch Lawrence with us, do you think that, so a 4-year deal and he'd only play for 3?
Yeah, I think the Knicks would sign on for that right now. They're ready to. I mean, how bad have things been in the Garden? They never got Kobe Bryant. They never got LeBron James. They never get anybody of real consequence to make them a championship team. They're all of a sudden going to back off because he might miss 1 year. He's only 30 years old, so he'll start playing for the Knicks when he's 32. I think that's right up Jim Dolan's alley. I told you before. With LeBron James, if he ever wanted to force his way out of Los Angeles, if he was tired of what was going on there, he won't do that because he wants to be in L.A. because he likes the lifestyle. But I'm telling you, when all the smoke started to come out about LeBron James, would he be willing to move? I guarantee you, I thought that Jim Dolan would call Jeannie Buss up to at least inquire about that. That's the way he thinks about the Knicks. He wants as a big time star in the guard.
So I saw your article on all the GMs that of these teams, et cetera, Nuggets, Clippers, that have, you know, Pelicans that have never won at all.
Right, the teams that haven't been to a finals yet.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So the Pelicans get Griffin down there, and they get Zion, and now the featured flavor of the day is what kind of deal are they going to pull off for Anthony Davis? Where do you think he's going? And so it sounds to me like you're convinced Durant's the Knicks guy, and they're not going to go after – I mean, they can't do they can't get Anthony Davis and Durant. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What world are we living in?
Exactly. I don't know if they have the assets. Obviously, the number three pick is the best asset the Knicks have, because that's the thing that would entice the Pelicans. They would lead they'd need a lot more. Kevin Knox, guys like that, Mitchell Robinson, they're not moving the needle for David Griffin down there in New Orleans. They'd have to somehow get a third team involved. So Anthony Davis, I think he will be on the move. It sounds like David Griffin is telling teams what he needs in terms of star players, in terms of draft picks, et cetera. Boston has loved Anthony Davis for the longest time. I don't know if they're going to go all in to get Anthony Davis if Kyrie Irving is going to be in Brooklyn. That doesn't make any sense for them. You know Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker. You know LeBron wants him to be out there. But there again, they might have to get a third team involved because they might not have enough for David Griffin. Look, he's not going to take Lonzo Ball. There's no durability there. He can't stay on the court. Brandon Ingram's coming off a blood clot issue. You know, that's a problem. So it's going to have to be a multiple-team deal to get what he needs for Anthony Davis. But I think Anthony Davis is on the way out. He doesn't want to be there. And the longer you hold on to him, it makes it worse for your team.
Do you think so you said Kyrie and the Nets, there's no way that you believe that you think he's going there, or do you think there's a chance the Knicks could also get him and then wait for a year for Durant and have Kyrie there?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a chance. I mean, obviously, the interesting thing, the fallout from last night was, gee, what do you think Kyrie's thinking when he sees Kevin Durant go down? Because these guys have been linked to the Knicks. They've been linked to the Nets, whether you want to believe that or not. Now, Kyrie Irving likes the idea of going to play in Brooklyn. He grew up a Nets fan. He could, you know, his problems that he had in Boston with young players there, the Nets are of the belief, from what I'm hearing, that maybe it was just a bad mix. They're not turned off by that. You know, here's the deal, Scott, as you know. Talent trumps all. If Kyrie Irving had problems in Boston, the Nets are still going to look at it as, hey, he's only 26, 27 years old. He's not a lost cause when it comes to this stuff. He could still be a hell of a player and take us to the next level. Could he still come to the Knicks with Kevin Durant? I still think that's an option. We'll see. But, you know, who knows at this point. But it is interesting that Kyrie Irving is impacted, obviously, by this Durant thing, because they've been linked together for so long.
And he's still got, obviously, mad game. What do you remember most about the Jordan flu game 22 years ago today against the Jazz? You remember that?
Yeah, well, we were there. I was there. A lot of people thought he ate some bad food, that it wasn't the flu. But he was definitely under the weather, and the guy put on a classic performance. You know, we got to be – first of all, this just tells you all you need to know about Michael Jordan. There's no load management. There's no rest. This is a final situation where you're playing for the championship. You'd have to basically drag him off the court for him not to play. And he was just, you know, unbelievable. But, you know, that's how Michael Jordan was wired. Nothing was going to stop him from winning titles when he started to get on the roll in the 90s and then dominated that decade. And I'm always of the firm belief that even if he didn't leave basketball to go play baseball for a couple of years, if he would have stayed, he would have won 8 straight titles. I don't care about the Houston Rockets winning back-to-back, you know, in that situation. I still think that Jordan would have found a way to beat Hakeem Olajuwon head up, straight up, and he would have gone 8 for 8 in the next game.
That's crazy. Last but not least, Mitch, game 6 at Oracle Thursday night. Who do you like?
I'll tell you what. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Warriors lost this game and lost 3 games at Oracle to close this out and lost the series after such a great performance in Game 5? I'm a little worried about them in terms of this. Every night, they are struggling to score. Now, not Game 5 because they had Durant and DeMarcus Cousins, but to start this game, Game 6, you know, they're going to have to get huge games from Curry and Thompson. And after that, who are you going to depend on as your third scorer, your fourth scorer? DeMarcus Cousins is going to have to step up. The one thing I will say is that in the two wins in this series, they've got these what I call June wins, Scotty. The close games, they out-execute Toronto down the stretch. Why? Because they've done it in the past. They've got championships under the belt, and Toronto doesn't do it. And you got Nick Nurse calling ridiculous timeouts, killing his team's momentum when you're only supposed to call timeouts to kill the other team's momentum. I think I give Toronto a great shot to bounce back. It wouldn't be surprising if they won. It's kind of a flip of a coin game right now because Toronto, obviously, we'll see how they recover mentally from a crushing home loss when they could have wrapped it up if they did anything right in the last 3 minutes of that game. And we'll see if Golden State can actually find some other guys to score. It's very hard to tell. I'll give a slight edge to Golden State because they are home.
My man, Mitch Lawrence, killer stuff as always. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
See you later.
All right, Mitch Lawrence of NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Hoops, you got Game 6 Thursday, hockey Game 7 tomorrow night. What to do in the meantime? Pounce on baseball every game, every play, every day. And then you get MMA and boxing. Are you kidding me? We're number one. PharrellOnTheBench.com, the best picks, the best price, buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com is on fire. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife or girlfriend because they'll spend it. Believe me. So, Carver High, I got to ask you. I mean, this is we got some shenanigans going on here before Game 7. It appears to me that there was a Zamboni incident today where the GM of the Blues was screaming at people and telling them to do their Pharrelling jobs in Boston, not going over well with the locals. They're not having it. And there were some people talking about going to the bathroom in someone's Cheerios. What is going on?
Yeah, it seems like the St. Louis Blues were ready to practice this morning.
Very sensitive.
And the rink was not ready. And GM Doug Armstrong decided to let the guys that work on the rink kind of know about it.
Have it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, do you think it's all a game, that they did it on purpose? Could there be anything so ridiculous that they're trying to screw up the Blues routine?
I mean, honestly, this is the last game of the entire NHL season. I just don't see that being the reason why this happened. As much as I'd like to think that it is, it's just – there's no way. He did go back and apologize to the gentleman later on.
Too late.
Too late, right.
So let me ask you.
One of the other funny parts of this was one of the guys that works on the crew there at the TD Bank Arena is Bruins defenseman Matt Grizzlick, the guy who's been out with the concussion. His father's part of the crew.
Oh, his father.
That works on the
– So he's the guy that got his bell rung.
Right. He was not the guy that gave him the who went in your Cheerios line, but.
So now let me get down to business here. I know you've been on the Blues for the entire time. You've been on
this
the Blues
series.
For this series. So has anything changed your opinion of, like, Rask and Binnington? Let's face facts. One guy's like 98 or 97 or what is he, 90? I think he's 94. The other guy's 87 in terms of their save percentage. So your boy Binnington has had a couple of bad games, the 7-goal game, the 5-goal game. He's got lit up a few times. But they have been on the road. We'll talk to Bob Ryan about it at the top of the hour. But on the road, they've been pretty tough. Do you believe – because I told you I thought they'd go win Game 7 in Boston. I'm not sure I'm feeling that as much tonight as I was prior to this.
Yeah.
I think that Rask is better than Binnington.
No, I said it all last week. I thought that the Blues, when they won that Game 5 in Boston, I thought they really needed to win Game 6 in St. Louis on Sunday night. I thought that was their chance to win the Cup. I am rooting for them. I want to see them win tomorrow night, believe me. But I just don't.
So we're going to have some tension in here tomorrow night? Another Islander-Penguin tension night?
Well, no. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Now, I've got a wager on St. Louis that I made at the beginning of the series. I'm obviously hoping to win that. I don't want to see Boston win another title. I don't want any of that going on either. But you have to look at it from the way it is. Are the Blues really going to win three games in Boston in this series? That, I just find it really hard that they're going to win a third game in Boston.
Just like Toronto trying to win three in Oracle.
I'm not worried about Binnington. I'm really not.
You're not worried about
I'm
that.
Not worried about Binnington. I know that those two games were bad. Here's the thing, as we've seen with the Blues, when they play their game, they're a really team combined effort. It's not just the goaltender. It's everything that all five guys on the ice are doing. They play as a unit, and you saw that in four out of the six games in this series. They could go in there tomorrow night and win. I just think it's very tough. I'd put it at this, 60-40 Bruins.
So Maroon has had some success. Remember, you know, he had the clincher against the Stars, the game winner in that series. Do you think he could be a guy that, you know, this guy has done it already in this playoff run? You think he, because we haven't heard his name pop up lately. Is he about due to bust one off?
Sure. Look, a lot of times when you have a game seven, you know, in any playoff series in the NHL, there seems to be an unlikely hero or a guy that maybe has been slumping that ends up getting a huge winner. We talked about the guy on Carolina, Justin Williams. I mean, he's always a huge game seven guy. He's not really known as a high octane player throughout the whole season, but he gets it done in the playoffs. You need a guy who is just going to step up and be the hero. What about the year that the Penguins won, right? That game seven in Detroit. Talbot had the two goals. I mean, it's not like Crosby and Malkin won the game. Talbot had the two goals.
A new hero, new
right.
story.
It's going to be somebody like that.
So, how smart, Mafia, do you think you got to play in this game seven? Not screw up and give, you know, teams power plays. I think a lot of it comes down to who's going to have the man advantage. How many times are you going to be able to convert? Because it really boils down to, you know, Marchand had the power play goal to open game six, right? And they never looked back. So how do you feel about playing smart, PKs, and power plays?
That's how you got to play it. That's how you always, well, nine times out of ten, you see that happen in game seven. You see the guys grab the sticks tighter. They're less inclined to go and take the chances, whether it's pinching on certain things in the defensive end or, you know, making those rushes and trying to get the odd man rush where the defenseman jumps in. They're much more inclined to play forwards, rush, defensemen stay back, and not give up the big odd man rushes and the big opportunities until you get later on. So you either get down in the game or you get late and it's tied up and someone's got to, you know, blink first and then the game of chicken. But for the most part, in the beginning of these games, usually it's tight, low scoring, both teams trying to not give the game up rather than trying to win it right out of the gates.
Do you know that Bobby Orr, all-time 8 goals, 16 games, is the most Bruins Stanley Cup final goal scoring in terms of numbers? And then Marchand and Bergeron, 7 each, Carver High. These two guys are on the verge of tying. One of them could score and tie Bobby Orr. Now, Bobby Orr's got a statue outside the building. What do you think will happen down the road when it's all over and long from now, Marchand and Bergeron are done playing in the NHL? Will they be remembered as much as Bobby Orr was in Boston? Because these guys are doing what, you know, they've already won the cup and they've now caught him, basically. They're one goal behind him in terms of all time. Will they be remembered like this guy?
Well, and they got a chance to get their second cup tomorrow night, so that's enormous, too. Look, it's hard to get, you know, to crack the great Bobby Orr, you know,
right.
The legendary Bobby Orr, you know, that's a name you can't really touch
can't
up there,
that.
You know, up in Boston. So, but these are going to be two guys that will
they're going to go down together in history
of this franchise, especially if they get a second one.
They're like
night.
Lemieux and Jagr, don't you think? At some point, these two guys win two cups.
Well, yeah, look, and it's over a period of time.
And
you know, they
three.
Got the one, right. They played in a third and lost to the Blackhawks. And it's stretched out. I mean, 2011 and now here, 7 years later. So 8 years later, whatever it is. So this is a big opportunity for them tomorrow night.
It's crazy, right?
I mean,
when you really think about it, those guys have been unbelievable. I'm telling you, if either one of those guys scores a goal in that game.
Well, when that line has scored in this series,
they don't have won.
And you look at the two games where they blew them out, the 7-goal game and the 5-goal game, it was that line Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, who is getting it done for them. And when they're quiet and the Blues are holding them down, the Blues have won the games in this series.
All right, Mavia, speaking of big games, tomorrow the Farrell Ballers have a big game. The semifinal of the playoffs, the Final Four, is tomorrow night. How do you feel about what's happening, the developments that this team we're playing is so short that we had to fill their roster and that I gave them the 6'8" kid that played with us last week that our teammates said, I don't want you on the team. He's now playing with them, and so is your boy Justin is playing on that team, which is another guy that's on another team. So they got two fill-ins playing with Killer, Paulie, and Danny Hills against and the two fill-ins against our five. We only have five. We have no bench now because a baseball player is not playing, and Vin hurt his knee.
Yeah, that's the irony of it. Last night, all we're talking about is how we're going to get enough guys to fill their team, and should we even give them guys to fill their team, given us the playoffs? You know, in the past, we've been like, come playoffs, you know, you don't get fill-ins. You either show up or you lose. But still, we decided to go the route of giving them a couple guys, and then all of a sudden comes around to today, and we're scrounging up to try to find, make sure we have enough five guys to play because injuries and other obligations that people take more seriously. So now it's come down to, you know, it's 5-on-5, war of attrition, who's going to last the longest. It's going to be a very interesting game. Very different than what you would have expected, you know, if you looked at this matchup.
Do you think we can handle it? I mean, we got – it's you, me, Foz,
I think we can.
Brendan, and Michael.
Yeah, I think we can. I think we just have to match up, you know, the best way that it works for us and, you know, take advantage of it. You know, they have one guy with size, but even then he doesn't have the muscle. He's young, so he hasn't put on the weight yet.
So what are you going to do to that kid?
I'm going to push him around. You get physical.
What up, son? You're going to get a little. We're going to get a little hizzy in there. Carl, you're going to get your boy in there. A little hizzy.
Got to teach these kids what it's like to play against grown men.
Grown man strength. Old man strength, son.
Hey,
Mama, there goes that man. Can't have some little high school kid dancing on you, Mafia, but he's a big boy, 6'8". You're going to have to get one of those right in the. A little. One of those. One of like a little bit of one of these.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.